This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
The Handman Special. The Shoehorn.
I appreciate that he's fired up for it, though. I always appreciate his enthusiasm when it comes to UFC.
Yes. Yes. There, he has got it in spades. Everything else I don't know so much about. It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. Handman, like, you do live your life with an inordinate amount of excitement surrounding your UFC fanhood. Like, I feel like that, just getting to know you over the last several months, I feel like that is 50% of your life interest. Is that fair?
Yeah, I mean, close.
What are the other percentages?
Baseball. I'm a big baseball guy. Fantasy baseball draft next Wednesday, so I've been cramming some information on that. But yeah, UFC is definitely there as well. I mean, anytime, it's basically I have something on the edge of my brain all the time, so that if I get a moment to say something to Joe about the card coming up this weekend, like tomorrow, guaranteed, I'm going to say, so who you like, Rose Namajunas or Amanda Ribas this weekend? It's going to come right out of my mouth.
God bless you.
Let me ask you something. Outside of sports, is there anything else that occupies your time?
Yeah, no, I like watching movies, okay. TV shows, Star Wars, you know, great stuff.
Just original stuff coming from him back there. I love sports and movies.
I was going to say, this is, you know what? We're not getting too deep here.
I was expecting him to come out and say, yeah, you know what? I play a lot of squash.
Yeah. Turns out I have an inordinate amount of gigantic Legos that I built. It'd be like, that is fascinating to me. Please tell me more. Sports and movies, though, that's all right. Handman keeps it light. And if you've ever met the Handman, very casual, very light, very easygoing. We could all strive for a little bit more of that in our lives.
That's an excellent point.
I'm the exact opposite. I'm on edge with everything. From the moment I wake up until the moment my body allows itself to shut down in bed at the end of the night, I am on edge. I live on edge no matter what. It is awful. So I'm a little bit jealous of Handman.
Got to win those first few hours of the day, then you win the day.
So I wake up and just panic. Oh, my God, I'm late. It's like, you're not late. You set the alarm for 4 a.m. so that you could be excessively early and get everything in. You've never been late a day in your life. Stop waking up in a panic that you're going to be late. And yet, tomorrow morning, I will wake up in a cold sweat and panic.
You walked by here at, like, this control room at, like, 7:30 this morning. We were like, is Joe okay? What's he doing here?
How about on Monday when I walked by at, like, 6:15? 6:15 for a TV show that started at 8 p.m. because the brackets were out. It's a big day of research. I woke up at, like, 3:50 in the morning so that I could get everything done and get out of the house and get here and settle in with some coffee and just pour through all the data. I poured through so much data that day.
Settle in your nervous brain with caffeine.
Yeah. So then you should see me 8 to 10 when the TV show starts, and it's like, we're going to float this or we're going to move this. No, you are not. You are not moving any of my picks. Everything I research is getting in this show today, whether you like it or not.
And again, we'll start calling you the Shoehorn. Because it's going to get in.
Just everything. I want all my futures in. We don't have enough time. Don't care. Kick everyone else off the show. The research has been done. It's time to get it out to the masses.
See, I feel that pressure when I'm doing games. Like, no. Hang on a second. I spent 10 hours this week. I am going to make sure that, you know, on third downs on Thursdays, this team is 2 for 81.
Yeah, that's huge.
Exactly.
I want that information.
Exactly.
Tell the play-by-play guy or tell the color guy to shut up so we can get that stat in there.
It's Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio. I told when I worked with Canty, we did a game together last year. And on the show, you know, Canty gets all the room that he wants when we were doing the show together. I told him right before the game, listen, today, my show.
Oh, stay really? Aside. What game did you do?
We did Patriots Ravens in week 3 of 2023 together.
Played for the Ravens.
Yes. Yeah. Also, and I said, sit tight, Mr. Former NFL player. Today, it's Carlin.
Is that the best decision for the audience? I'm
probably
curious
not.
As to whether or not the audience needs more of you and less of the Super Bowl champion who played for the team.
I have never made decisions based on the audience.
Yeah. I didn't even realize there was an audience.
Exactly. I thought it was you and me and Handman and occasionally Pacastello. We started the show today talking about this very, very interesting report that has been out there coming out of Pittsburgh that the Steelers have inquired, have expressed some interest, have looked into, have kicked the tires on a potential deal with the 49ers for Brandon Ayuk. Ayuk coming up on his fifth season in San Francisco, of course, is looking to get paid. And Ayuk heard the story, and if you have X, which, like, who doesn't, go and check out Ayuk's tweet yesterday because he sent out a picture of himself and Mike Tomlin after this story was out there, and he says, they're out here saying we're twins. What do you think? And if you look at it, like, the two of them are remarkably facially alike. Like, they do look like twins. There's no question.
It was also a standard Tomlin serious look and an Ayuk serious look, too. So they were both, it lined up very well. It was very amusing when he put that up.
Now, having said that, the idea of the Steelers trading for Ayuk is brilliant for them and a necessity for the 49ers, not necessarily to trade him to Pittsburgh, but to trade him away. Joe, first of all, from the Pittsburgh standpoint, they have never been of this kind of ilk of a team that wants to go out and be aggressive in making trades. This is now a time, I think you and I both agree, that you have to start throwing that kind of stuff out the window to get better.
You've handled your business in a certain way for a long time, and you've had very favorable results. Without a shadow of a doubt, the Pittsburgh Steelers are viewed as one of the crown jewels of the NFL. I understand they're not winning championships every 3 years, but they put a competitive, respectable product on the field year after year after year. Their coach is someone you can be proud of. The organization is an organization you can be proud of. I've long maintained that if I had been born in the middle of nowhere and I was allowed to choose any team in the NFL to root for, I would pick the Pittsburgh Steelers. Kills me because I'm from Eastern PA and I'm an Eagles fan, but the Steelers are steady. You can get behind them. I love the way they do business. But there's no arguing with the fact that they haven't won a playoff game since 2016. And from then until now, 23 different NFL teams have won at least one playoff game. The Steelers find themselves in a category with the Dolphins and the Jets and some other teams you don't want to be categorized with. So maybe we change up the business model just a little bit. Somehow, some way, you found yourself in a situation where you've got two quarterbacks on the roster in Russell Wilson and Justin Fields who are combining to take up about $4.5 million this year, and it costs that plus a six-round pick in order to get it done. You got some money to spend. You're not the Bears or the Commanders with their salary cap space, but you got some money to spend. So if you're going to try out the Russell Wilson experiment and then eventually move to the Justin Fields experiment, the best thing you can do is put as many quality weapons around them as possible so you can give yourself a proper evaluation. That's part of where Chicago failed with Justin Fields. It took too long to get a quality evaluation because they didn't surround him with anything. Pittsburgh's got that opportunity here. And if Brandon Ayuk is on the block because the San Francisco 49ers can't make that work, that would be an excellent Pittsburgh Steeler because he will catch that ball, he will put his head down, and he will run. Averaged close to 18 yards per reception last year. He's all about the yak, the yards after contact. He is a fantastic wide receiver.
They've gotten better in the quarterback room. I have said that. You know, not as convinced that they are, but at the same time, when you're going to go and do that and you're going to pair him up with George Pickens, it's going to be much, much better for both of them. And it's going to be much better for whoever the quarterback is. And listen, I don't know that Russell Wilson's going to be the starter all year, but I do know that DJ Moore was traded to the Bears last year and had his best season with Justin Fields in 96 catches, almost 1,400 yards and 8 touchdowns. So, listen, Russell Wilson at this point in his career is not what he was in Seattle, in the heart of it, but he's still going to be better if they're his guy. Fields, still going to be better if you're adding Ayuk to that mix. And what you are doing is you are changing it from an offense that you're just getting by with and you're winning games in a grinded-out fashion all the time to an offense that actually is capable of making big plays down the field. And that's something that they haven't been. But what about the possibility of it from the San Francisco standpoint? Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL Insider, joined us earlier on this.
They still have a $900,000 quarterback next year that they like. And so they have room. They can play around. You can restructure Trent Williams' deal or Fred Warner's deal and get money out of it. So if they really want to keep it together and they really want to sign Ayuk, they can do it. It's just a question of the big picture on these receivers is Justin Jefferson still doesn't have a contract. CeeDee Lamb still doesn't have a contract. Like no one since 2022 has gotten paid at the wide receiver position. We're at the combine. I thought the Amon-Ra St. Brown extension with the Lions was a day away from being done. Still not done. So no one can figure out how to pay these guys.
And this is the issue. If you're the 49ers, you have got major cap issues to begin with. They already had to let go of Eric Armstead. You paid Deebo Samuel after he demanded to be traded. Joe, I don't think they can afford to keep him at this point.
If they get rid of Brandon Ayuk when they're pretty much in the fading twilight of this Super Bowl window, I would expect absolute anarchy in the Bay Area over that decision. That kid is a flat-out winner. He can play. And you have a quarterback who's making like $1 million a year. You got to spend. If they decide that this is where they're not going to spend with Trent Williams getting older, and again, as great as Christian McCaffrey was last year, can you bank on him to be fully healthy again next year? Like, this team is watching its window close. You don't give away talent during that stretch. You stockpile talent by every means necessary, because when it all starts to unravel, it's going to get real bad for a lot of people in that area real quick.
It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. Less than 24 hours, like 22 hours, until the NCAA tournament round of 64 begins. That feels like it's time for a pool party. Mm. And we'll have it next on ESPN Radio. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio. Carlin versus Joe, pizza money alert.
Pizza, pizza.
Curse the Dodgers in the first five innings, because if they had handled their business like they should have against Darvish, we could have had a 3-0 day. Unfortunately, we go 2-1, up 0.75 units, still down overall, but we're starting to work our way back. We're starting to work our way back, so we're going to stay calm. We got one pick for today. College basketball tonight. Laying the 3 with Colorado over Boise State. This Colorado team getting hot at the right time. They've won 8 of their last 9 games. They're a very balanced basketball team, top 45 in both offensive and defensive efficiency. They're also a top 5 three-point shooting team and a top 20 free throw shooting team. You are going to hear this a lot from me over the next couple weeks. Free throws, free throws, free throws. Late game scenarios, you got to hit your free throws. The most frustrating thing on earth is betting a college basketball team in the tournament that cannot knock down its free throws. Hint, hint, Houston stinks shooting free throws. Colorado's a bit undervalued because they spent a large portion of the season pretty dinged up, but they're relatively healthy now, so they're better than what the overall picture presents. Colorado, -3 over Boise State. That's your pizza money for today.
Slide on your Speedo.
Chris Carlin in the his house.
Put on those floaties and grab a margarita. It's a Carlin versus Joe pool party.
Oh, yes. La love a good pool party. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. What is the pool party? It's simple. Joe will present a series of options, and we will select out of each pool the correct answer. So Joseph, Anthony, Arthur, Fortinbaugh, the 18th. The floor is yours.
All right, Mr. Carlin. Pool number one, the most vulnerable one seed in this year's March Madness tournament. Number one, UConn. Number two, North Carolina. Number three, Purdue. Number four, Houston.
I would go with North Carolina there. I think North Carolina is the most vulnerable. People are talking about Purdue. Well, Purdue got a decent draw, to tell you the truth. I don't think it's all setting up all that badly for them. North Carolina is a team that is incredibly talented, Joe. I personally am just a little bit worried about them because seven losses this year, like they should not have lost seven games this season. They're much better than that. And yet they did. They found a couple of times, they found ways to lose some games. I worry about them a little bit. Plus, I do like the way Mississippi State's playing if they get them in round two. Alabama can just flat out score a ton. They can't stop anybody, but they can score a ton. And I personally picked Arizona to go to the Final Four, so there you go.
Everybody keeps saying that about North Carolina. They keep talking about that potential round of 32 matchup with Mississippi State. I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying everyone keeps saying that, but those same people aren't focusing on the we should be hammering Mississippi State over Michigan State. Like, mm-hmm. That feels like a banger. That spread's like 1.5, and everybody loves Mississippi State to go on to knock off North Carolina. Like, should we not be playing that?
I think we should be.
As I completely derail the segment for my own personal gain.
No, that's what it's about. It's about us making money off you.
Yeah. Well, that's how we got to think. So more on that later. I would say Purdue. I see what you're saying. You're looking at the exterior component. The draw is good. That's a factor. But when I look at Purdue, I see a head coach in Matt Painter who's done a great job, but 14 trips to the tournament, he's advanced to the second weekend six times. One appearance in the Elite Eight. That's tough to do. I get it. But, like, this team has a history, a documented history, a long history of struggling. I wouldn't be surprised if TCU gave them all they could handle in the round of 32. Pool party number two. The three seed that you favor to beat the two seed in their region, assuming they match up. This is a handman special, lots of words. Some of the words are in parentheses. Probably doesn't make a lot of sense to a lot of people. So if the three meets the two, which three is most likely to take out the two? Illinois against two seed Iowa State, Baylor against two seed Arizona, Creighton against two seed Tennessee, Kentucky against two seed Marquette.
Probably Kentucky. Mm. I'd say Kentucky over Marquette at this point.
Are you pro-Kentucky or anti-Marquette?
A little bit of both. I'm not anti-Marquette. I like Marquette a lot, but I can't ignore the injury situation with Kolick, right?
Yeah.
So that's definitely a concern. And Kentucky, talent-wise, has absolutely a ton of it. They have been, how do I say this? I have a lot more comfortability in them in the way they've played in, I would say, the last month. So I would say Kentucky at this point.
Kentucky's intriguing.
I don't think Tennessee's getting knocked off.
A lot of people are talking about Kentucky. Like, everyone's like, this is the team that's going to make a run. The second the SEC tournament started, they got beat by 10 against Texas A&M. They didn't win a single game in the conference tournament. Problematic to me. And the defense isn't all that great. But again, it's Kentucky. There's a lot of talent there. You never know. All right, pool party number three. Winners of their respective conference tournament that can win an NCAA tournament game. So we're going a little bit further down here. These are 11 seeds that won their conference tournament. I want to know which one's most likely to win at least one tournament game. 11 seed NC State, 11 seed Oregon, 11 seed New Mexico. Handman, put the opponent up on the board. Help us with that.
Well, I'm going to handicap here.
Oregon, I know, is playing South Carolina.
Correct. You've got NC State playing Texas Tech.
Okay.
And then New Mexico, you have playing Clemson.
Okay. Which of those three, which 11 seed most likely to spring the upset there?
New Mexico.
New Mexico, huh?
Yeah, Richard Pitino. Richard Pitino, as in Rick Jr., so to speak. They are a very good team out of the Mountain West. They are a team that I think might have even, dare I say, gotten a little bit underseeded. I really like New Mexico in this game. I think this is one that could definitely go their way. And I have also never been a big believer in Clemson basketball. And I think it's Brad Brownell who's the coach. They always seem to be decent, but they don't ever seem to be good enough to where they really have earned me believing in them.
11 seed Oregon. Everybody I'm talking to keeps telling me Oregon. Everybody yeah. They're playing a feisty South Carolina team. Everyone keeps saying Oregon. Dana Altman's never lost in the first round of the tournament. You hear that? It's just they're cramming it down everyone's throat. Well, then why isn't the point spread 8? Because it's sitting there at like 1. All right. Pool party. We're going to continue. The result. Caitlin Clark needs to solidify GOAT status. Handman, you'll notice I skipped part of that sentence because it was quite redundant. The result. Caitlin Clark, star player, Iowa Hawkeyes. What is the result she needs to solidify the greatest of all time status? Reaching the Elite Eight, reaching the Final Four, winning the championship, getting to the championship, being the champion, doesn't matter. She's already the GOAT.
I mean, listen, she's already the greatest individual scorer in NCAA history. We're talking about the GOAT. She needs to win a championship. And I understand that that's asking a lot when you are going to draw so much of the attention as one player, but they're a one seed. They're obviously there because they're a very, very good team. When you're a one seed, Joe, winning the championship is supposed to be right there on the docket. And if you're Caitlin Clark, yeah, you want to be the greatest of all time, go in a tight.
Is there a GOAT anywhere in any sport that does not have a championship?
Oh, man.
Let me start with this. Barry Bonds. Like baseball,
yeah, maybe.
Baseball might be the sport because there's only so much one guy can actually do.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, but you have to obviously consider a lot of other things in that.
Is this, you know, the
but he's the best hitter I've ever seen, period.
Well, there you go. I mean, yeah. All-time home run king.
Yeah. But just pure hitter.
One of the greatest bets of all time was that World Series against the Angels. If you could make a bet, will Barry Bonds reach base in his first at bat? And they didn't juice it enough on the yes. It was either, I think one of the results was a home run and the rest were just walks. There was only one time in the whole series, if memory serves, that he didn't reach base in his first at bat. Like no one wanted to mess with him, and rightfully so for the Angels.
Unbelievable. Yeah, I'd say championship for Caitlin Clark. I don't know that
there
ever has
been.
Yeah,
you got to win a championship. You can't. GOATs have to be champions. This is not a knock on Caitlin Clark.
No.
It's more an indictment of the team around her. But the reality of the situation is this. There are no GOATs without championships. You have to win championships. GOATs have. You don't need 6. You don't need 8. But you have to have it on the resume. Otherwise, you can't be the GOAT. The whole point of this thing is to win championships.
Joe, you might have missed it if you didn't get up early, but if you're like Joe, you win the early hours of the day, you win the day, period. So Joe didn't miss it. You might have, though, because if you're like me, you have no interest in being up anytime before 9 a.m.
Jeez.
So I did get up earlier than that. I do. I just said I didn't have any interest in it. Hey, the Dodgers! The Dodgers are 1-0. Are they actually, speaking of championships, going to finally do it outside of a COVID year? One of our analysts joins us next, but first I want to tell you about this from our friends over at Indeed. Now listen, it's the perfect time to gear up and connect to quality candidates, and there's no better way to do that than through Indeed, the hiring platform that makes it easy to attract, screen, and interview candidates all in the same place. Their interview tool helps you schedule and conduct video interviews right from your employer dashboard. Nix the hassle. Start hiring. Indeed.com/credit.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Here's Ohtani with 2 on and 1 out. He swings the first pitch, hits it into the left center field gap. That's a base hit. Here's Lux coming around third. He'll score standing. It is 5-2 as Shohei Ohtani comes up with his first run batted in as a Dodger.
AM 570 LA Sports, the Dodgers in the very early morning hours. They win over in Seoul in the Seoul Series, beating the Padres, and now they have opened up the season with a victory, and with that amount of money, they better get a whole lot more of them. It's Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. Chris Carlin, Joe Fortenbaugh, Tim Kirchen, ESPN MLB analyst, joining us in just a moment. Handman, is Tim with us at this point? I believe he is.
Handman is just scrambling back.
Oh, there he is. There he is. Okay. My apologies, Tim. Great to have you with us. And, you know, listen, let's just start here. How massive of a disappointment would it be if the Dodgers don't win it all this year?
Well, there's some pretty good teams out there. The Braves are just as good, if not better, than the Dodgers right now. The Dodgers have some starting pitching issues, there's no doubt. But I think most of them, if not all of them, will be corrected by the end of the year once they get Bueller and May and Gonsolin and Kershaw all off the injured list. They might have the best rotation in the league by the end of September. But, yes, it's a good point. This is the greatest traveling roadshow in baseball history, at least it will be. And with the money they spent and the expectations, it will be a big disappointment if they don't win. But this is baseball. As we know, two wildcard teams made it to the World Series last year. A team with 84 wins went to the World Series last year. The ultimate beauty of baseball is anything can happen in October. But I really like the Dodgers, and I'm going to like them a lot more once their pitching gets healthy.
Two-parter regarding this opening series over in South Korea. Number one, how are the players feeling about starting a little bit earlier than normal with the international travel? And number two, bigger plans, more ambitious plans for baseball moving forward with some locations?
Yes, baseball is globalizing all the time, and we've already started this with Japan and all sorts of other places. England, I went there last summer, and again, they're playing there this summer. This is what baseball is doing, and we will see more and more sites for Major League Baseball games. And even though I'm 67, I get it. I understand what we're trying to do here. And as for what was the first question, Chris?
Well, first question was, how are the players feeling about all of it?
Oh, sorry. Yes.
All right, Tim.
They got $70,000 to go. Each player did. So I'm sure that made things a little bit easier, but there's no way around this. To report as early as they had to, start spring training as early as they had to, take essentially a week to fly there, play a couple exhibition games, play a couple real games, fly back, that is really hard on the body, and it's a real imposition for the players. However, again, they get paid a lot of money for it. The tricky part now is once these games that really matter, the two games that matter, are done, they have to come back and play some more exhibition games, which makes it pretty tricky also. So the players are doing the right thing by going. They understand it's for the good of the sport. It's not easy on them, but it's the right thing to do.
Tim Kirchen, ESPN MLB analyst. What's your read on the Yankees here, Tim? No Gerrit Cole. They didn't go and sign Blake Snell. What is this situation shaping up for in what appears to be an incredibly important year for Brian Cashman?
Yeah, I left spring training saying the Yankees are demonstrably better offensively. They're going to score a couple more 100 runs than they did last year. I believe that. Still, Juan Soto makes that big of a difference, as does, of course, a healthy Aaron Judge, slim down Giancarlo Stanton. However, I thought they were one pitcher short in the rotation anyway. And then Gerrit Cole, who's probably the best pitcher in the game, goes down, and we're not sure how long he's going to be out, but you got to think it's going to be at least a couple of months. That's not a good thing. I'm not shocked they didn't go get Snell, even though he would have really helped them. They're going to try to tread water until, hopefully for their sake, Cole comes back. But, you know, Nestor Cortez, Carlos Rodon, and others, Marcus Stroman, are going to have to really be good to make up for the void left by Cole. And they have a really good bullpen, but it's a very stout division, and I think the Cole injury knocks them down from a top five team in the major leagues to somewhere later in the top 10.
Last year, it was the Orioles and the Diamondbacks catching people by surprise. The Diamondbacks obviously make a run all the way to the World Series. The Orioles popped a little bit sooner than some may have realized. Hell of a run during the regular season. Any teams to keep an eye on this year that could surprise?
You know, just once, I'd like to be that guy that finds the team that comes out of nowhere and wins 25 games more than they did the year before. But I'm sorry, I don't see it. I have looked and I have looked and I've looked. I mean, I think the Guardians pitching is pretty darn good, and the Guardians could find a way to win that division, even though I think the Twins are the class of the division. But I just can't see a team coming out of nowhere and making the playoffs, say, like the Diamondbacks did last year. And even though I saw the Rangers in spring training 2 years ago and really liked what I saw, that was still a big surprise. I just don't see a massive, you know, movement up by a team that finished well under 500. But there's some interesting teams to keep an eye on, and that's what this season's all about. We know one or two teams are going to come from nowhere. I just can't see them right now.
Tim, you're the best. Appreciate a few minutes. Thank you.
Thank you, Tim.
Okay, guys. See you.
Yep. Tim Kirchen, ESPN MLB analyst on Carlin versus Joe, presented by Progressive Insurance. My friends from Superchargers, exhaust kits, and more. eBay Motors has over 122 million parts to keep your ride or die alive. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to bring home that win. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Caleb Williams working out at his pro day today. One other top five pick? Not so much. We'll tell you next. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, and on the iHeart app.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Dylan Reynolds defends for Xavier. Hap looking on the inbounds. Gets it to Koenig. Right side. Elevates for three. And a win! Bring it up! Yes! Wisconsin! 66-63. Bronson Koenig off the right baseline. And the Badgers are dancing to the Sweet 16.
Westwood One Radio, that was a huge tournament win for Wisconsin. The tournament in earnest really truly begins tomorrow, round of 64. We got the games tonight, yes, but that Thursday classic opener at noon, balls in the air with three games. Let's go. Can't wait. And if you haven't downloaded the ESPN Tournament Challenge app, what are you doing? Go there, fill out your brackets. Got to join the ESPN Radio group. Go up against Joe and me, and let's all collectively show in the men's and women's side that we are all better than Evan Cohen. Carlin versus
the opener is fantastic. It's Michigan State, Mississippi State.
Oh, right out of
you
the
can't
gate.
Ask. I like the point spread's right there around 1, 1.5. You can't ask for a better game to get started with.
Well, we're getting started, and it's going to be huge.
Day betting alert.
Yeah. I mean, are we going to get lined up early on all of them?
Well, here's what I'm looking at. So I have not looked at the schedule yet. I know bets I like. I just haven't looked at the schedule. I definitely have a bet in the Mississippi State game. Second game is BYU Duquesne. I'm on that game. Creighton Akron. I don't have anything on that yet. Arizona Long Beach State. Don't necessarily have anything on that yet. Then we have North Carolina Wagner. Those are the five games that will tip and finish or just tip and go while our show is on the air tomorrow. But rest assured, I'll come up with action for all five by the time.
Are you surprised that Michigan State is the favorite with everybody kind of loving on Mississippi State?
I thought Mississippi State was a favorite.
I have them Michigan State -1.5.
Then yeah, I'm absolutely. Well, no, you know why? Because it's Tom Izzo in March. Like, it's going to be that narrative where so many people are going to pick Michigan State because it's Tom Izzo in March. And yeah, years ago, Tom Izzo used to have serious runs in March, and maybe he's got one in him now. But that Michigan State team or that Mississippi State team, anytime someone who really knows basketball tells me about them, they're like, that's a team of men. That is a team of men. They're physical. They rebound well. They just seem like a tough out. People keep talking about them knocking out North Carolina in the round of 32. No one even mentions this game. So it feels like it should be a lock because I keep hearing all this Mississippi State stuff, but then you're right. You got Michigan State as a favorite.
Listen.
Somebody's O has got to go.
Michigan State, a few years back, they knocked me out of my pool in the first round. When they had Denzel Valentine, and they had lost in the first round. I forget who it was. Maybe Middle Tennessee?
Let me just jump in. Yeah. Nobody cares. Nobody cares about your fantasy team. Nobody cares about your bracket. Let's just be very clear about that. Nobody cares about any of the stories anyone has about where they are bracket-wise or what their fantasy team is up to. I thought as a society we had established this, but no. People still feel compelled to tell you about their bracket. Like tomorrow, oh, what a huge win. I don't care. Don't care. I'm going to lose more in juice on the opening wave of games than I stand to win from any bracket I'm in. So I don't care about brackets.
But also sign up for the tournament challenge and share, subscribe,
without
like,
question.
Comment.
It doesn't mean I'm not into them. I'm probably in 20 of them. It's not on the high on my priority list. There's priorities. There's the action. There's the futures. There's survivor pools if you've ever played in those. Survivor pools are awesome. And brackets. Brackets are awesome. It's just, you know.
So if I lose a Final Four team tomorrow, no sympathy, huh?
Don't tell me. Like, I got other things going on. I'm going to be grinding out things that are so minute in everyone else's world that if you come to me with how your pool is doing, I'm just not going to be interested, okay?
Thanks.
Well, I mean, did you really think we wanted to sit here and hear about Denzel Washington and how Michigan State got your $10 bracket 11 years ago?
This kind of feels like when I was growing up and I was told I was inconsequential. Appreciate that. Thanks.
Yeah, it's
Denzel,
like, you know,
Washington, Denzel Valentine.
Washington Valentine.
That's a point. It does not remotely matter to Joe. And I have to say,
both are great names.
You're 100% right. And I don't know what I was doing because when somebody hits me with it, I don't care.
You don't care. Yeah, exactly.
It's one of those things where it just slipped out.
We're just all busy. We're all busy. And you come up, it's like, let me tell you about what happened in my fantasy league this weekend. I don't care. I'm the best guy to have in your fantasy league because I couldn't care less. I routinely miss getting guys into the lineups. I'm only on waivers because I have to pick up guys to fill in. I've tried to extract myself from my fantasy leagues because I don't want to do it, but like three of them are leagues that have been going on for close to 20 years. Like I can't sever those relationships because the chaos of what will happen from me trying to leave those leagues is not worth it. So I just deal with the draft and everything else every year.
It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. By the way, Joe, nobody cares about your fantasy leagues.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
There it is.
Listen, speaking of, football, Caleb Williams had his pro day today out at USC, and already you've got Keenan Allen showing up at it. And he's out there in California hanging out with Caleb Williams at pro day today, presuming that he's going to be his next quarterback. And Joe, this is a situation for Caleb Williams where is there a whole lot to be gained from doing much at your pro day?
I think there's something to be lost. Yeah. People are going to overanalyze all of this. They're going to look at the throws, the workout, the foot placement, the speed, all that stuff. Here's the reality of the situation when it comes to a pro day for a guy like Caleb Williams. This is a professional event. That's all it is. It is a professional event. So as long as you are professional, you are fine. If you miss a few throws, nobody's going to care because you're not actually playing football. You're just working out. The thing that can hurt you for this, you show up heavy. The thing that can hurt you for this, you show up with some massive entourage and you're an hour and a half late. The thing that can hurt you for this is not taking it seriously and showing that on the field. Afterwards, people are going to want to talk to you. They're going to want to shake hands. You go through the process. People know us, Carlin versus Joe, Chris Carlin, Joe Fortenbaugh. We do a radio show. But we also have meetings at times where we get into meetings with sales departments and different little events that take place that aren't necessarily broadcast on air. Those are professional events. You show up, you act like a pro because it's part of the business. This is Caleb Williams having a business outing today. So I don't care if he missed on four or five throws. I don't care if the deep ball hung in the air a little too long. I've seen plenty of him at USC. I don't really care how the workout looks like outside of whether or not he shows up like super heavy. The reality is this is a business outing. Treat it like a business outing. And if you treat it like a pro, that's all I need to see. If you don't treat it like a pro, that's where your problems can creep up.
Just don't tick anybody off today. Yeah. That's all you have to do.
Just show up and handle it like an adult would do. And I'm not saying he's not capable of that. I'm not trying to put anything on him. I'm saying this is about showing you are a professional. Just go handle your business. Do it the right way. If someone comes in tomorrow, man, he really didn't look good on those 15-yard outs. Don't care. I've seen him play football. He's fantastic at what he does. This is about handling it like a pro. There's really only stuff you can lose here. Like, you can only lose by taking this unseriously. You're 10 pounds overweight. You're an hour and a half late. Those are the things that can hurt. So just handle it like a pro.
Carlin versus Joe is presented by Progressive Insurance. Don't forget to tune into NBA action tonight as the Celtics host the Bucks, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. One guy not working out at his pro day today, Marvin Harrison Jr. They had the pro day at Ohio State, not working out at all. Did show up and handling himself like a pro from all accounts, but I totally get that from Marvin Harrison's standpoint. What else is there to prove based off of all the production that he's had? Didn't do it at the combine. Didn't do it here. I've got no problem with it. And it would not keep me from drafting him number four if I were the Cardinals.
He has put more than enough athletic, physical evidence on tape for people to watch that the only thing he needs to worry about between the end of his college career and draft day is being involved in the meetings that teams would want to be involved with for him. They want to get to know the person, right? The interview process. And as long as he's going through that and he's sitting down, he's talking to people, he's shaking hands, he's doing all that, he's doing everything he needs to do. There's no question as to whether or not he can play wide receiver at the next level. No question whatsoever. There might be some people who want to check him out medically just to make sure nothing slides through the cracks. I think that's reasonable. But if there's someone that wants to put a stopwatch on him to see what his 40-yard dash time is, son, that's not going to get you to the Super Bowl. You don't need to put a stopwatch on Marvin Harrison Jr. You've seen what his dad did in the NFL. You saw how he handled himself at Ohio State. He's fine. Wanting to meet him, wanting to talk to him, more than fine. But a workout, I don't think we need that.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter in the least for a guy like that.
You don't want to see the vertical jump? You don't need to see it?
No. You know why? I saw him go up and catch a couple of touchdowns against Rutgers.
He's awesome, man. He is. I can't wait to watch him play at the next level.
Oh, my God. He's going to be so good. And, you know, we've got all those receivers that are in the top 10, and we expect even Mel Kiper's latest mock draft had three of them along with three quarterbacks in the top six. There is a ton of exciting talent. And this is somebody that is above those other two by quite a bit. Oh, boy.
Good! Jenkins!
That was something.
Thanks for listening to the Carlin vs. Joe podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Carlin vs. Joe weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on Sirius XM Channel 80. You can also watch and listen on the ESPN app. The Carlin vs. Joe podcast.